I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Constellation Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Boise to Baltimore, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you. Tons of football after this weekend. We've got our friend Ross Tucker, who will join us from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, coming up in hour number two. That should be a lot of fun. So many different topics to jump in on. We'll talk about Cap's workout on Saturday and how we got where we're at with that. We'll talk about Tua's injury this hour. How much of a risk is it now drafting Tua high? The offense of the Patriots, another ugly effort. Is that going to come back to haunt them? We'll talk about Ned Flanders going angry, beast mode, yesterday when it mattered most. And the Baltimore Ravens surging again. All of that coming up this morning on the show. Any topics you want to jump in on, college football, NFL from the weekend that it was, definitely hit me up on the phones. Toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll read through all of your tweets as well over the course of this morning's show. But let's begin last night in Los Angeles, where the scene was unmistakably ridiculous. At the end of last night's game, the Chicago Bears, after another gruesome effort by Trubisky, trail by 10, 17-7, with 3 minutes and change to go. Matt Nagy, on the sidelines, covers his face with his placard so that we can't read the lips of what he says, but pulls Mitchell Trubisky near and whispers sweet nothings into his ear, pulling him from the game. Trubisky looks like he's on the verge of tears, but stands there on the sideline for the obvious conclusion of the game, which is Chase Daniel doesn't do anything either, and the Bears lose. Now, it looked for all the world like this was a benching. It looked for all of the world that this was Trubisky yanked for being so bad. But after the game, Matt Nagy insisting it was an injury, hip injury, that Trubisky had suffered a hip injury at some point in the game, and that because of it, he had lost his torque, he had lost his strength, and he wasn't effective. I got to tell you this. If you expect me to believe that, if you believe that, I've got a bridge to sell you. I thought this was one of the most ridiculous, ill-conceived coaching moves in recent memory. The game is lost. The game is absolutely lost. This just in, Chase Daniel isn't taking you down the field in just over 3 minutes to play, getting a touchdown, kicking the extra point, and then getting the football back and driving you into field goal range to tie it up or another touchdown to win it. The game is over. The game was over. And in Mraz's infamous Pat Shurmur rant, no one's getting onside kicks anymore. No one. So with just over 3 minutes to play, you're down two scores, you've lost. The game is over. That Bears offense doesn't have quick strike ability that suddenly they're going to score in 35 seconds or 48 seconds and then kick the ball away and then stop them three times to get the football back. That's going to be a drive to nowhere. So Matt Nagy makes the decision with the game over to, on national TV, yank his quarterback. And even if you believe that perhaps Trubisky was favoring an injury and that perhaps made him ineffective, which is kind of crazy because he's been completely ineffective while being completely healthy, he wasn't showing it, so you wouldn't just let him have that final drive so that it didn't embarrass him. It didn't seem like they were worried that it would exacerbate the injury. It was just that he was ineffective because of the injury. So what you have chosen to do, if you're Matt Nagy, what you have chosen to do here is publicly humiliate your young quarterback who's already completely under fire by making it look like you're pulling him for ineffectiveness. Trubisky stinks. Trubisky's a mess. But Matt Nagy just made it that much worse. It is where we begin your cold open.
It was all based off of he just wasn't feeling right. His hip was hurting him. We knew it a few series earlier that something wasn't right. We watched him kind of just to keep an eye on him and see how it was. And I had to pull him aside and talk to him and just ask him and say exactly that we needed him to be honest with us. And trying to play through that is what he was doing. And at the same time, it was affecting a little bit of how he was able to throw. And I just don't want to put him at more risk, and I also don't want to affect how the play is with the team.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
You've just got to be kidding me. You've just got to be kidding me. You've just got to be kidding me. The city itself has already got its fangs out for Trubisky. The entire night, he was a disaster. The entire night. The entire night, it was once again more bad Trubisky. And with 3 minutes to play was the time that you decided, you know what? Let's take him out because I think he's injured. You think. We think he was favoring something. What Nagy just did was create another bleep show. And you might say, well, it was going to happen anyway, DA. Another ineffective day from Trubisky. The Bears can't keep going on like this, so he was going to have to make a change anyway. That's true. But what you have just done is put it on Front Street that you don't know what to do with the quarterback position. You have lost faith in the kid. And the team now has to answer questions about it. Instead of allowing what happened last night just to be Trubisky's final chapter, and then you make the change this week so that the entire city and media is in constantly asking, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? How injured are you? Are you injured? Are you not injured? If you watched Trubisky last night in the postgame press conference, he couldn't even look reporters in the eyes as he answered their questions. He had a hat pulled on low, and he just looked down at the podium. He couldn't even look people in the eye, which is, to me, in my experience, a sign of lying. And he's forced now to basically act as though, yeah, he was injured when he was playing, and nobody had any sense that he was an injury until he was yanked. Matt Nagy is lost. Trubisky is lost, and the season is lost in Chicago. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, and on Twitter, DA on CBS. And This coming after a deep dive by the Chicago Tribune this week of how the Bears got to drafting Trubisky, which was a huge column article, well-researched, anonymous sources, all of this behind the scenes about how they came to decide on Trubisky. This is how the week ends up after the entire city's talking about whether it was a mistake not to bring in Deshaun Watson, not to draft Patrick Mahomes. What do they see in Trubisky? And the article basically encapsulated that Trubisky emotionally and mentally is a puddle right now and can't fight his way out of it. And then you have just now added another log onto that fire because you have just yanked him publicly and now forced him to basically lie about the severity of an injury. You couldn't have it worse. Nagy couldn't have it worse. And oh, by the way, remember that entire offseason devoted to finding a kicker? Pressure pack kicker? They finally got it. Eddie Pinheiro loves the pressure. Kicking woes for the Bears. You know what? Not going to happen anymore around here. Matt Nagy made sure. They had a kicking competition in the offseason. They brought everybody in. They had like 17 kickers come in. They lined them up. Remember Augusta Silence? It's going to be as silent as the Masters. Pressure. Pressure. We're going to line you up from 44. That's what Cody Parkey missed. Line you up from 44. You missed it. Line him up from 44. He missed it. You're out of here. You're out of here. Oh, they found their guy, huh? Eddie Pinheiro. Boots another two misses last night. Another two. So what was all of that? What was all of that for? You made a big song and dance about finding your clutch kicker, and then what? Your solution has stunk. Nagy's a bozo. Complete bozo. He's lost everything. How it happened last year. How can it happen? I have no idea how that happened last year, how he found 12 wins with this team. That defense was just that good. They fell into a lot of close wins, turnovers late. Trubisky didn't kill him too badly. But boy, when the going gets tough, Nagy, get him out.
How could it?
As for the Rams, I mean, are we supposed to believe that that Rams team is worthy of playoff discussion? I feel like one day, 10 years from now, we'll look back and say, remember those two random years Jared Goff was good? Isn't that crazy? Huh. It was kind of like the way that we talk about RG3. Remember the RG3 year? He was like really good. It's like crazy. He was like really good. That's how I feel watching Jared Goff. Somehow the last 2 years Goff was good, and now suddenly you just feel as though he ain't never going to be good again. This is bad. And the Rams, I mean, thank goodness they played the Bears last night because McVay's team didn't look much better. By the way, let's just hope that the Bears don't have the TVs on at the facility today. That's very important. Make sure that they get to avoid the reality that they are terrible. By the way, it has been done. It has been set. The Cincinnati Bengals have their 10th loss of the season after their 10th game. I will pay off the bet coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio, will also discuss Tua Tagovailoa's injury to his hip on Saturday. How much of a risk is it going to be to draft Tagovailoa if he is in the draft this upcoming April? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Najee is in at running back. Lines up to the right of Tua. He'll pick up a blitzer. Najee will. Tua being chased from the pocket. He is hit and throws the ball on the near side. It is incomplete along the 30-yard line, and Tua is not getting up. Tua's helmet is off, and he is not getting up.
You know, we can second-guess ourselves, you know, all we want. We told Mac to warm up. We're going to go 2 minutes for the half. You know, Tua wanted to play in the game. And so, you know, I don't really make a lot of decisions based on, you know, worrying about guys getting hurt. Or I'd have taken Raekwon out and Ruggs out and everybody else that got hurt today out. You know, so We have total confidence in Mac, and I thought Mac did a good job when he won the game.
Probably inappropriately sock hop music as we discuss Tua Tagovailoa's devastating injury. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Eli Gold, the Alabama Crimson Tide Radio Network. And that was Nick Saban after the game. It's time to ask the pros this morning, where you, the listener, get to ask a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA, on CBS, and be listening later on to the show when we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. And there's so many ways you can listen to the show, remember, but you can also watch it. You can watch it at watchda.com. That's available for free. No subscription, no payment, no sign up. Just go to your phone, or your tablet, or your PC, your desktop, your laptop, and just punch up watchda.com. Couple of thoughts on the Tua injury. I don't see how you could draft him in April if he comes out and not be incredibly worried about long-term health. Big picture here is that Tua likely has played his last college football game. I'd find it hard to believe that a guy that just suffered a devastating injury like this wants to come back and play for free again. I got to think that he goes, if I'm going to go back onto the field, I want to be paid for it, and if I still project it in the first round, I'll still get a decent contract out of this. But think about this. At best case scenario, best case, he's back full strength in 6 months. Well, that's well after we're doing combine stuff and workout stuff. You know, 6 month, best case, basically takes us to the draft. So somebody would have to draft him without any real physical certainty that he is back after this injury. Personally, if I'm a GM, I cannot stake my franchise to drafting Tua Tagovailoa after this injury. Not in the first round. Now, you got a quarterback and Tua becomes a luxury, or you feel like you get good value on Tua because you get him in the second round or below, okay. But for the franchises that are desperate for a QB, for the franchises that need the first round quarterback draft pick to work out, I don't see how you could in good faith hitch your wagon to a guy that just suffered this injury. I also understand why they're doing it, but I find it totally disingenuous that the reports out of this injury and from Alabama are, we expect a full recovery. How could you know that at this point? How could you know that? And I'll tell you why. When Bo Jackson suffered his hip injury, the problem wasn't just mobility in the hip. The problem was the hip injury dislocation led to strained and torn blood vessels, which led to an erosion of the bone itself in the area around that hip, which led to the hip replacement. And according to doctors, you won't see whether there was that damage to the blood vessels. It might not show up for months. See, that was the thing about Bo Jackson. It wasn't that when he went down, everybody said, career's over. You've got to remember, he goes down in that wild card game against the Bengals, and it doesn't look that severe. He is out, but he's on his feet. He's on the sideline, but he doesn't come back to play. Nobody at that point in time says his career's in jeopardy. Later on, it got worse and worse and worse, and they realized that damage was continuing to take place, and they couldn't stop it. Now, science is better now, 28 years later. Hopefully, they don't have to worry about misdiagnosing or not catching something or not having him in the best case scenario to be healthy. But to say today, 48 hours after this injury, we expect a full recovery is totally disingenuous. They could never know that right now. And I know, you know, you just don't want to end Tua's draft hopes and draft stock now. So I get why they're doing it, but I think it's disingenuous. I don't think there's any way they could possibly know what he projects as a full recovery to. I feel terrible for him because he has been complete class. And even when Jalen Hurts came in and saved them in the SEC title game, Tua was the first one to congratulate him. The first one. He had taken his job. First one to applaud him, to cheer him. He has been an ambassador off the field for Alabama. He's been brilliant on the field. He's a great young man. But this is serious. This is so serious. This injury is so serious. And let's just say, best case scenario, 6 months from now, Tua is completely healthy. And you've drafted him in the first round to be your guy. Do you feel comfortable he's going to make it 7 to 9 years or 7 to 8, 10 years as your franchise guy to remain healthy after both ankles have been compromised in college and he had this pretty devastating hip injury where it's not just a dislocation, but there's also a fracture in the bone? I don't see how you could possibly say, yeah, I trust Tua to be healthy for 8 years. I thought it was questionable before this injury because of the double ankles. Now you're going to be convinced that he's going to last a decade if you draft him in the first round? That's a leap for me. And I think that Nick Saban deserves culpability here. Look, I can't say that every coach needs to pull out every player because of the risk of injury. No doubt. The risk of injury was there for Tua in the first play of the game and when he ended up getting injured when they're blowing out Ole Miss. But there is, or Mississippi State, there is a moment where the game is over. The game's over and Tua's already been dinged. And you know your season comes down to beating Auburn in the Iron Bowl. It does not come down to beating Mississippi State in the second half of this game. And it does not come back to working on the two-minute drill, which is what Saban said. You know, I honestly believe that Saban looked at that situation on Saturday and said, we need to blow everybody out that we play from here on out because we don't get the benefit of the doubt with an SEC championship game. So we've got to win with style points against Mississippi State and against Auburn. And so we need Tua to put up points. Because honestly, if you just need to beat Mississippi State on Saturday, you can start the backup and you can beat them. You can beat them 24-20. You can beat them 19-17. But, you know, there was a reason to keep Tua in there. They needed style points the rest of the way. But once you're up 3 touchdowns in that game, I mean, honestly, it's get him ready for the Iron Bowl. There is no reason to be working on. I mean, he's on 2 compromised ankles over the last 2 years. And he hasn't quite been right in about a month. He certainly wasn't right at the end of the LSU game or the first half of the LSU game. And he's working on 2-minute drill stuff. I hate to say it because I love Tua. He's just such a good guy. And it seems like his spirits are high, his spirits are bright. And I love that. I love him for it. I think it's an enormous risk to draft Tua Tagovailoa in the first round. Enormous. I would not do it. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you want to jump in here on the show, tons after the NFL weekend and the Saturday college football action.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
We have a lot of emotions. And one of the emotions is hunger. Is that an emotion? I don't know if that's defined as an emotion. But I said after week one, the Bengals travel to Seattle. And they hung tight with the Seahawks. And I sat there and I watched this game and I said, you know what? I'm an idiot. We're all idiots. Because what we didn't realize was removing Marvin Lewis from the equation is going to make the Bengals better. I said, Marvin Lewis has been a disaster. Marvin Lewis has been keeping that team down. That's been a decent team drafting-wise for a long time. Decent roster. You know what? A young, fresh perspective from like a Zach Taylor is going to help them. They played in Seattle tight. And I came in on that Monday and said, you know what? The Bengals are going to be better than we think. And Mraz laughed in my face and said, you know what, big boy, let's put something on this, okay? I said, I bet you they're going to be pretty good this year. So we set the over-under at 5.5 wins. Mraz said, no way they're getting to 6 wins. No way. I said, they're going to be 6-10 or better. This was after they started 0-1. They lost week 2, week 3, week 4, week 5, week 6, week 7, week 8, week 9, and then yesterday, week 10. Which means that we have already hit the under on 5.5 a week and a half before Thanksgiving. And so the moral of the story is, kids, never trust the Bengals, no matter who's the coach, because it will only come back to pain you. And so what was the bet? The bet was I would buy breakfast for the crew.
Hi, I like some breakfast. We stopped serving breakfast.
Today, we serve breakfast. So boys, get the menu out. Bogish, I hear that you have identified the place that we need to order from.
Yes, the place that provides us the now world-famous chicken pesto sandwich.
Okay, we'll order breakfast. However, I have one stipulation.
Mm.
Bilotti's got to eat it during the show.
Ooh.
That's fine.
He's already said, you know, I got to get breakfast today because you guys are just going to criticize me.
Because there was the one moment in show history where I bought sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
No, I bought breakfast sandwiches, I think.
You just bought, it was just an open invitation. And
okay.
He ordered lunch.
Okay, no, but he ordered a breakfast, but he saved it for lunch because he already had a breakfast here. And we had declared at that point in time that if somebody bought the breakfast, it had to be eaten before lunch. It could not be saved for a later meal. Is that the way this went down?
Yeah, he wanted to bring the sandwich home.
But I ate it. That's the bottom line.
So this became the controversy. Does it count if Pete ate it later for a different meal?
No, it doesn't.
No.
You eat it with all of us for breakfast.
Let's not go down this road again.
So I just want the stipulation so there's no controversy here. If I buy you guys breakfast, it has to be actually ingested prior to noon Eastern time.
I mean, even at least most of it. If it's a lot and you want to finish it later on, that's okay. But you can't buy it out of stock for winter.
And I will always say this. You have told me that it needs to be here for the last hour of the show because you want it to serve as a pseudo lunch for you.
Yeah.
And it's already caused these two guys to start freaking out about what time we're ordering. So, of course, there's always controversy.
Of course. Okay, we'll just get it delivered for 90 minutes from now, okay? Is that fine?
Okay.
Or an hour from now. I don't know. Just
right.
Going into the final hour.
Okay.
Because I'm not hungry yet.
Okay, no and problem.
And I'm buying.
Big boy.
Okay? I'll be hungry in about an hour, and then we'll eat. But then you got to eat. It's got to be eaten up. All off your plate before we get
okay,
off.
Okay, Dad.
I'm not ordering until I see your credit card. This is going to be a Sean lays it out, I'll Venmo you situation.
When we come back, we've got your best audio of the day. That includes John Gruden over those very Bengals. 6 wins for this Oakland Raiders team. And Jason Garrett on the Cowboys effort yesterday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
That big boy.
I ate the sandwich in the studio, and that's it.
He used you for a meal knowing he had already eaten breakfast. He used you.
You're a liar, because I ate the sandwich here, and that's it. And that's all I'm going to say about it. It's all fake news.
That was wrong by Pete. Bad guy.
It's a smear job because of my record. That's what it is. People want to take me down.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
A smear job because of Pete the Body Bilotti's record. People want to take him down. Take note, you would-be taker-downers. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico, 855-212-4227. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. There's so many ways you can listen to the show. Remember, you can check us out using the CBS Sports app. That's free. Also, the Radio.com app. That's free. Apple Music. You can watch us at watchda.com. That's free. Or across this great CBS Sports Radio Network and on Sirius XM, Channel 206. Rob of the 321 tweets, DA, does the committee keep Alabama out of the college football playoff with Tua's injury unless they win the SEC? And who is now going to be the number one quarterback taken in the draft? Joe Burrow is going to be the number one quarterback taken to the draft unless he has a precipitous fall from grace in these final weeks. But I think that Joe Burrow is going to be that number one guy. Herbert, Justin Herbert from Oregon is going to be probably that number two guy. And we'll just have to see. Guessing where Tua is going to get drafted right now is, I think, a fool's errand because, you know, you need one guy to fall in love with you and take a risk. Or we could get to March and it turns out he can't move. And there's real worries about the generation in his hip. And then who's going to draft him? So that's kind of a crazy swing that could happen. But Burrow's going to be the first quarterback. Herbert's going to be the second quarterback taken. I think that the College Football Playoff Committee should and will weigh this. And I don't think there's any way Alabama can be in the College Football Playoff unless there's mass chaos. Because they're not going to win the SEC. They're not going to play in the SEC title game. And they're not going to have their starting quarterback. You got a hard time convincing me that that's one of the four best teams of the country. Let's bring you your best audio of the day. It's time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Well, Ravens and Texans was billed as the future of the NFL. Two-star quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson, doing battle. Should be an exciting game. Well, one team showed up, one quarterback showed up. Deshaun Watson and the Texans had their lunch handed to them 41-7 by Baltimore. Here was Deshaun.
Man, the criticism comes week in, week out. You know, I can go out Thursday and light it up, and everyone is back talking highly about us. So, you know, it's a media-driven lead, and we're just going to continue to focus on us and testing and try to win games.
I think that Deshaun Watson long-term is fine. I really believe Deshaun Watson has all types of star power for the foreseeable future and for his career. I love everything about the guy, but he had a terrible day yesterday. Tried to do far too much. Threw passes into places he shouldn't, held on to the football too long, committed fumbles, and couldn't really move the football when they really needed it. And so yesterday was an ugly day. I have to say, though, I have to wonder about Bill O'Brien. That is the ultimate stinker. The ultimate stinker. And he just has so many of these under his watch. That was the Texans coming off a bye. Look, I know the Ravens are good, but the Texans coming off a bye looked that bad. It took them until the fourth quarter in garbage time to score. That's a lot of Bill O'Brien's fingerprints all over that. And we'll talk about the Ravens later on in the show in depth, but what Lamar Jackson showed is that right now, that's one of the most difficult teams to defend. Lamar Jackson's hitting on all cylinders. The Baltimore ground attack was ridiculous. They put up 263 yards on the ground. Gus Edwards had the big one, and Mark Ingram had a couple of big ones, and it was just a rout, a complete rout, and it was Ravens completely outclassing the Texans. John Gruden moves to 6 wins on the surprising season by the Raiders.
Proud of our team. I compliment the Bengals. They fought their heart out. And, you know, it's great, I think, for all of football. If you're a young football player, there are no standings. There are no stats. There are no records. You know, when a ball's snapped, you play hard and anything can happen. And that was one of those games today.
I'm sorry, Mraz. Can you help decipher this for me? Play John Gruden translator. What did yesterday's game have to do with kids and young players?
Just teaching you, my assumption is because they played the Bengals that it doesn't matter who your opponent is, what the record is. They only won the game by a touchdown. You throw records out. Kids don't have records. Kids don't keep score.
Uh-huh.
So if you're a kid, then you could relate to the Raiders looking at the Bengals like they didn't have a record.
So a message to 12-year-old young football players.
Correct. Raiders, Bengals, message to them.
Don't look past your opponent.
Yes, that you guys aren't keeping score now. And remember that sometimes records, you don't even have a record. So when you come to the NFL, remember that there was a time where people didn't even have a record and view your opponent like that.
I don't think that's it.
No?
No, I don't. I think what he's saying is, here's the lesson to all you youngsters out there. Don't take your opponent lightly, no matter what their record is.
Then why not just say that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know
that
why.
That would be a problem, would it not?
I don't know why John Gruden makes things so confusing. But I thought that yesterday had a little bit less to do about the Bengals playing well and more to do about the Raiders kind of playing down to their level. But I do think that it's a really cool story in Oakland that Raiders fans have a winner to cheer for. Unfortunately, it's on their way out the door. And it's, of course, the final season of them in Oakland, and they've finally gotten it turned around. And so it's so bittersweet. But yesterday was fun in Oakland because you had a good team that you knew you were better than the opposing team. You knew you were supposed to win, and the Raiders moved to 5-1 at home. And I just think that it's been a pretty amazing job done by Gruden. And I totally bite my tongue on it and happy to eat crow because I love when the Raiders are good. I think it's so fun when the Raiders are good. I think that the fan base deserves the Raiders being good. And we finally got a good Raiders team, and it's just better that way. And I did not think it was going to happen this quickly, and it has. And props to the Raiders moving to 6-4 to put themselves again, not only in the playoff race, but the AFC West race. I mean, with a loss tonight, the Chiefs would sink below the Raiders in the division. So tonight's an enormous game, actually, for the Chiefs. And finally, Jason Garrett's Dallas Cowboys find a way to get a victory. Pretty scary that it took them down to the wire to do it, but they beat the Cowboys beat the Lions 35-27.
When you play a quarterback like that, it's so critical to somehow, some way hem him in. And he's a very good athlete. And we talked about this. We had him at the Senior Bowl a few years ago, and he's big, strong, athletic. He's fast. He's played very well when he's gotten opportunities. Played well for Cincinnati last year, and he's played well for Detroit. Clap on.
So, who do you think he was talking about there? The Cowboys played the Lions. Okay, if you would have said, well, it's Matthew Stafford, and he said, you know, he's a good quarterback on the other side of the field. We got to make sure that, you know, we can hem him in. You'd say, yeah, I mean, Stafford's a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. But no, remember, Stafford was injured. So, who do you think, if for those that don't know, who do you think the Lions started yesterday? Any guesses? Bobby Lane's grandkid, Rodney Pete, maybe
Jeff Garcia.
There's an Andre Ware in there. No, that was Jeff Driscoll. And Jason Garrett is talking about needing to hem in Jeff Driscoll. You know, you don't just go out there and beat Jeff Driscoll here, guys. That was a big performance by us. You know, he does a lot of things that are tough to defend. I don't know. I just don't know about what to trust with this Cowboys team. You get the victory, but acting as though it was going to be tough beating the Lions with Jeff Driscoll, you can't sell me on that one. By the way, the Cowboys only rushed for, 75 yards all day yesterday? I mean, I know that Dak ended up with good numbers, but how much of that is because the Lions season has kind of fallen apart? That's your sound check. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Ed tweets, DA, is this segment a Seinfeld episode? Eating breakfast as a meal later? Hashtag soup is not a meal. Banya, the soup is the meal. That's the meal. You could have ordered whatever you wanted. That's the meal. No. I owe this crew lunch because I was dead wrong on the Cincinnati Bengals being better than 5-11, and they just lost their 10th game. So I was wrong. I am an idiot, and I owe everybody a meal here. But we've had controversy in the past. I don't want it to rip apart the show again. I want all of the rules to be very clear so that we don't have controversy. And the rule is, I'm happy to buy lunch for everybody, or breakfast rather, but it cannot be saved for later, which has happened prior. There has been an incident where somebody on the staff, I ordered breakfast, and they saved it for later. Now, they did eat it later, but it was saved for a different meal going back home. And I just want to make sure we don't run into any of those complications again.
Fair.
Now, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. I just want to make sure, you know, it could be Mraz. He could stick this big breakfast hoagie in his sandwich and go home.
No, I got London broil and eggs coming. I can't.
Oh, so now you're going big, huh? You got London broil coming.
Yeah, why not? Let's go for a nice meaty breakfast.
I might do the same.
That was a mistake of mine that I did not cap it at a dollar amount. So here we go. These guys are going to be ordering $30 breakfasts on it.
As much as the Bengals having cap space for the offseason.
Some hanger steak.
We got Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast coming up here in hour number two. But straight ahead, the Patriots get a win over the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday on the road. But the offense in Tom Brady really did not play well. Will that offense come back to haunt the Patriots when it matters most? We'll discuss. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.